You're listening to SBS News.
Recent days in Kashmir have seen India and Pakistan embroiled in their worst military escalation in decades. Tensions between the two nuclear powers dramatically escalated following a deadly attack on tourists in Pahalgam in Indian-administered Kashmir, which left 26 dead. India launched what it calls a calibrated military operation, targeting what it says are terrorist sites inside Pakistan-administered territory and in Pakistan itself. But Pakistani authorities say civilians, including children, were killed. India says it has information that more strikes were planned on its territory, and the action it took was preemptive and necessary to stop those taking place. Dr. Walter Ladwig is a senior lecturer in international relations at King's College London, specializing in security in South Asia.
We've now seen overnight the striking of, I believe, 24 different targets in Pakistan and Pakistan-administered Kashmir that the Indian government says are affiliated with a series of what it considers terrorist groups. So the Lashkar-e-Taiba, the Jaish-e-Mohammed, the Hezbollah Mujahideen. And these are groups that, you know, in the UK are proscribed. The UN has them on watch lists, and they've been responsible for a number of very high profile attacks, most notably the 2008 attacks in Mumbai.
So is this just going to be a case of escalating attacks from one to the other?
The Pakistani military has a proclaimed policy of what they call quid pro quo plus, which is a fancy way of saying whatever India does, we will do at least that in return, but also possibly a little bit more. So 2019, after a suicide bomber killed about 40 paramilitary police officers in Kashmir, India took the then unprecedented step of conducting airstrikes into Pakistan proper. And a couple days later, the Pakistani Air Force retaliated. And after each side had, perhaps we might say, assuaged its honor, the two, to use a boxing analogy, returned to their corners of the ring and the bell rang and tensions de-escalated. That would be the optimistic case here, is that the Pakistani military will respond in some way that allows them to defend or restore their honor, but that it goes no further, that there is not a target set or losses inflicted such that the Indian side needs to respond to the response. If the latter happens, then we start to get in an upward escalatory spiral where, you know, what will the next set of targets be? Because if India attacks terrorist camps or what it believes are terrorist camps, and Pakistan, say, responds by attacking Indian military targets, even if it's the bases from which those missiles and airstrikes came from, and then India attacks Pakistani military facilities, you can see how this could quickly move us up the threshold of conflict.
Militarily speaking, how powerful are these two nations?
When we're considering just overall the general trajectory of India and Pakistan military modernization, although Pakistan has a significantly smaller defense budget, one of its huge assets is the fact that its main weapon supplier is China, and China delivers. So we've seen modernization of the Pakistani Air Force in terms of jointly produced and developed fighter jets. And then with respect to the air defense, Pakistan is reported to have gained access to sort of Chinese variants of Russian air defense systems. So something that might be seen as the equivalent of kind of the S-400 system or something kind of comparable to that. Although India has a bigger military and it has a bigger budget, it's really struggled in recent decades to kind of modernize its force and keep pace. So they're still using legacy tanks acquired from Russia. There have been multiple attempts to buy hundreds and hundreds of new fighter aircraft. And those tenders have never come through. They haven't managed to buy the medium range fighter aircraft that they've looked for. Only a small number of Rafales were ultimately purchased from the French. The submarine fleet turning to the Navy is in a dire situation. They've been under their target a number of boats for decades. And again, the ones that they are acquiring are slow in coming, and they're beset by delays. So you end up in a situation where, although on paper India seems to have more money spent on military modernization, that Pakistan might actually be moving ahead slightly quicker than India actually is.